Mind if I take over now, Jim? You're taking up my airtime.
Oh, go ahead.
Jimmy, Bobby Orr, how are you?
Yeah. You said hello to me in an elevator about 4 years ago.
How are you, Jimmy?
Good, Bobby. Yeah. How are you, Doug? That's like having Batman and Superman on the same show.
No, it's definitely it's like having Superman and somebody else sitting to his left. Trust me.
Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. One of the things too that I thought we saw last night, and we talked about it with Mark Savard on Leafs Morning Skate about now the importance of the third and fourth lines. I mean, I thought the line that really, I think was maybe from start to finish the best line in the ice for Calgary was Derek Ryan's line. I don't believe they necessarily got in the scoring, but they had a couple of shifts where they had the Leafs hemmed up in their own end. The Leafs could not get out against that line, and that kind of surprised me. That Flames top line is pretty good, but that third line was all over the Leafs.
Yeah, well, the other side of it, too, Jeff, is the fourth line for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. They have trouble finishing, but they play a lot of heavy minutes in the offensive zone. So that's but if you watch how they get there, everything's dump and chase.
Right.
To go in. And I think where the top two lines will get into trouble is, they think it's the 70s again where a defenseman could just skate through everybody and get the zone.
It's not that hard. The guy beside me did it all the time. I don't know
was that a criticism of my play, Jimmy?
I barely remember that era, Bobby. but this game has maybe changed a little since then.
Yeah, just a shade. How many points do you think Orr would get playing now? And with medicine being what it is and everything, Jim, how many points would he get now?
Well, is this where I'd say 70? And you say he'd get more than that? I'd say yeah, but Bobby's 70 now. So.
Yeah, okay, that's good. The problem with Ralph with Ralphie Bobby is he's such a good after dinner speaker. I mean,
I love him.
You can't try to out one line him because it's just not going to work. Ralphie, before I let you go, what is Mike Babcock? He's got a couple of days now. What's he going to work on? What's the most important thing for him to work on ahead of Dallas?
I'd say the breakouts. Mm-hmm. You can't, the forwards can't feed. I can't remember the last time I've seen that 85 footer, that pass work out of your own end and find somebody open. And a lot of times all you get is a guy standing still at the far blue line and all he can do is tip it in with no speed going into the zone anyway. So, to me, that's the big thing. It's the breakout. The gap between forward and defense can't get to the point where clogging up the middle of the ice takes every opportunity away.
Well, Jimmy, what is your feeling on the red line, putting the red line back? I mean, that's going to make them make plays coming over their end.
I do think, though, Bobby, that's one of the most frustrating things is that, that 85-foot pass to a guy that's standing still that just tips it in the zone. So,
but not only that, with so much open ice, Jimmy, these guys are so big and so fast, so strong, and the players are getting hurt. I mean, and they're not even vicious checks a lot of times. The guy's just standing there. A guy runs into them because they're coming so fast, so quick out of their ends. I just think our game has become a little bit dangerous for our players.
Yeah, and it's, when you say just the size of them, I mean, Austin Matthews' injury wasn't a dirty hit, but two big boys colliding, and if that's along the boards, or if that's even with more speed, you can imagine the damage.
Yeah, what are we doing? The equipment's supposed to be better, Jim. The workouts are supposed to be better. They're most supposed to be better physically fit, and we're having the injury we're having. And the question is why?
Yeah, and I even heard the goalie's coming safe now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the training camp, which. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of. I think that hurts the game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what they've done to your guys, Jimmy, they put 4 feet in the offensive zone, and they load up the one side and the one-timers, and coach is saying block the shots. There's a lot of room in there now for power plays, and we have a lot of power plays. So it's the poor goalies are getting beat up pretty
yeah.
pretty much.
Even Bobby, talking to guys that are pro scouts that cover the American Bites, they say the skill level is diminished. Where everything's about systems. It's dump and chase, and it's a forecheck. And
Jimmy, they don't have to. They don't have to use their skills. They can shoot the puck from their goal line to the other blue line. And the other thing, minor hockey, Jimmy, why do we do that in minor hockey? Why don't we put our center line back in minor hockey? The kids, if they keep the red line out of the of junior and college, and so fine, the kids can adjust to that. But make our kids use a red line, so now they have to handle the puck in their end. They have to make plays in their end, and they're working on their skills. And the kids now, the coaches are coaching, many of the minor hockey league coach the same way. They shoot the puck up the glass like we do in the NHL.
Right.
And then in the summertime, the parents go and spend thousands, hundreds of dollars on skills camps. Doesn't make any sense to me, Jimmy.
No, and you know what, Bobby? Okay, to me, the best example of how you don't have to have that system for your kid to succeed in hockey is Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't go through that, and it was... the skill was 3-on-3.
Yep.
So playing 3-on-3 hockey coming up.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I remember, growing up in the Sioux, you couldn't wait to get back on the ice in September.
Yep.
Yeah. And now it's September is just the week after you've already played your summer hockey championship.
Healy tells a great story about going to the Canadian junior camp. And opening his equipment bag and thinking, geez, I hope I pack my skates. Because he hadn't taken them out all summer.
But you make a good point. They I think they train too much. I mean, they never stop. They never rest, Jimmy. They just don't rest. And I don't care what business you're in. You guys as broadcasters, if you're tired, you just don't perform properly. And I think our players have got to rest more. I never went to a hockey school after I turned pro. And I went as an instructor. I played other sports. Yes, we worked out, not like they do today. We didn't have gyms like they have today. But our players have got to rest more. I really believe that.
Yeah, I don't know how you change it. I know I got in trouble once. We were at a round table discussing. I think it was the trucking industry. And that was asked about how much it gives to be on the ice. Yeah. And... one gentleman there was a little upset with me. I talked about the 72 Canada Rescue Series and said, we believe that the reason we won that series was we had more passion for our country, more passion for the game. And these Russians were these robotic, highly skilled, but robotic, emotionless players that had been in these Red Army camps since they were 10 years old and on the ice for 11 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And that what we've learned from it is years later, we've become them. Yeah. And to me, that's not criticism of.
No.
Ovechkin is one of the most colorful, emotional players in the game.
Yep.
But we've got a lot of guys that are very similar and highly skilled. I mean, I do think, and not being smart from Bobby's era, was that now the average player is so much better.
Yep.
But because of the system that they're in.
Ralphie, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, good talking with you.
Take care.
Yeah.
That's Jim Ralph, our least radio analyst in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
He's the best.
He is, yeah. And I guarantee you wasn't expecting to hear from Bobby Orr this morning.
Well, I was with him last night at the game, so.
Oh, you took, okay, well, that's no fair. So now I feel like I've been sandbagged a little bit. The book is Bobby, My Story in Pictures by Bobby Orr, and I mean, this is such a great book. If you grew up in this era, but that doesn't matter. Even growing up now, you're going to love it. And I've got to ask you, first of all, Bobby, we were talking a little bit off air about the pictures of you as a child and the pictures that your parents had. And you told me a great story about going to a book signing. I think you said Oshawa.
Yep. It was in Oshawa on Sunday, yes.
And somebody brought you...
Yep. We have a
pictures.
Lot of, first of all, I was amazed at the photos my parents took so many years ago.
There's some amazing.
So many. My dad was on a Corvette
right.
during the war. And there are a lot of photos in there. And it's amazing they let them have a camera.
I was thinking.
You wouldn't get a camera on today's ship.
No, you wouldn't.
But I was at the signing in Oshawa on Sunday, and a couple came up to me, and they gave me an envelope, and they said, "My father was on the Corvette with your dad." I said, "Really?" I opened the envelope. They have photos of my dad.
Wow.
And their father on the Corvette.
Wow.
So it was amazing.
You said, and you said the interesting thing about this is once you saw these photos, you could remember.
A lot of the photos. I mean, some
a lot of them you could remember. Hey, I know where that is. I know.
Well, the fishing photos, I mean,
right.
I was old enough to go fishing with my father. I mean, I wasn't even born when a lot of these photos were taken.
Right.
But when we started fishing, I recognized some of the spots where my dad took me as a kid to go fishing. So, but the other photos that I had, it brings back unbelievable memories. I mean, I remember my father being in Boston. That's Grandma Orr.
Right.
On our dock where we used to go all summer long. She used to take all the grandchildren, and we'd spend the whole summer with Grandma sleeping in tents.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, a cottage was built, but we slept in tents. And Grandma took care of all the grandchildren all summer. And like, we had to do a lot of fishing,
right?
So we could eat.
No, yeah.
We ate a lot of fish in those days. But yes, the photos, I remember a lot of them there.
Yeah, this is did you find photos from other friends as well
here? Yeah, we had people sending photos.
Some of these, I guess, when you were younger. Well,
I had a lot of this, like the one you're looking at there now. You know who that is there with me? That's Salaps. Salaps Jr.
You're kidding.
Yeah. They beat us in a tournament. Does it look like I lost?
No, you look quite happy.
minor hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had a lot of these photos, but I had people sending them to me. The relatives were sending them to us. And you see the one with the kids with the sticks saluting the fans, our parents?
Right.
We started it way back. I was a peewee then. We were doing it back then.
There you are.
Saluting the fans. And on this side, that's my sister, son, Michael, and I was a mystery goalie in St. Catharines, and I came out on the ice with a mask on, and the kids were shooting at me. They didn't know it was me.
It's the Buffalo Sabres jersey,
I know,
too.
It's all they had.
I was, like you said, I went through this book, and it chronicles. I mean, this is a great picture of you and your the day that changed your life forever. You're out having soda with some friends. Tell us a little bit about this picture.
We were in a playoff game. Parry Sound had to go all the way to Gananoque to play in a C tournament. We were very small towns, Gananoque and Parry Sound. And the Boston Bruins, Milt Schmidt, Baldy Cotton, Ren Blair, even Mr. Adams, the owner, they were at this game because Oshawa was starting the next year for the Metro Junior A, and they were there to see two players that they were going to try to get to come and play on their teams. We were playing them, and that's when they saw me. And then Ren Blair spent the next few months living in Parry Sound to convince my mother to let me go play in Oshawa.
How old were you when this picture was taken?
I would have been probably 12 or 13 there. Probably 13.
Wow.
My second year Pee Wee, I think.
And then there's wearing the penguin t-shirt or the penguin polo shirt. Very, very nice. When, as I said, I was going through this and the great thing about this book is if you're a hockey fan or if you're a Bobby Orr fan, you're just going to, like I did, I bookmarked some pictures because they're just, I told you the picture everybody remembers of Bobby Orr is flying through the air, scoring that goal in the Stanley Cup. I found what I think is a classic Bobby Orr picture of you cutting around. Who is that?
I think that's Pulley and Bob Pulford. Now. I think that's Ricky Lee.
Yeah. You're going around them in a game at Maple Leaf Gardens. And to me, this is a classic Bobby Orr pose. You've got your left hand almost on the ice, and you've got one hand on the stick with the puck. And that's what I remember.
Thank you.
The vintage Bobby Orr.
Thank you.
Is you just sort of fending everybody off?
Well, I played a style that, well, I was lucky that the Bruins let me do it. I was owned by the Bruins when I was 14, and I signed with back then what we called the C form. We didn't have a draft as it is today.
Right.
So that's the way they let me play all through junior, and that's the way I enjoy playing. That's the way I thought I was most effective. So I was very lucky to have an organization that let me play like that.
This, I thought, was fascinating. You talked about, it's a picture of you in the slot, a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you know what? You did spend a lot of time in the slot, yeah. And for a defenseman.
Well, Jimmy Ralph, we did an event earlier in the year, in the summer, and he said, do you think a defenseman will ever win the scoring again? And I don't think we will, because we're not going to let them.
Yeah, you're right.
Not
coaches
many,
won't let them.
That's it. Not many coaches are going to like their defenseman up in front of the opponent's net. So
right.
I was allowed to do that. It didn't take long for the guys that I played with to understand how I played, and obviously they protected me, covered for me. Menin couldn't skate backwards. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Cash was not a good backward skater.
No.
Phil was not a good back when he had to cover for me.
Right.
They're terrible backward skaters. But they did cover for
they
me.
They did cover. Yeah. See, that's – but one of the things, you know, and I was looking at this picture, and I remember those Bruins teams. And, you know, Hodge, Cashman, and Esposito. How did you find room in the slot with those guys out in the ice? Because, I don't know if people remember that line, but – I don't know if they invented cycling, but pretty damn close to invented cycling.
We just all go up there. I had a photo. You think it's, you know, I'm in front of the net there and the opponent's net. I have a photo. I couldn't find it. And I looked everywhere. Teddy Green and I are both in front of the net.
Huh.
I couldn't find it, but we were both there. Teddy was a little offensive-minded, too. He would go off the ice. But I had a photo, and I couldn't find it. But Teddy and I were both in front of the net.
Couldn't. I mean, if you did that now, if you were coaching, you did it now, you'd be fired. Oh. You'd be fired. In conversation with Bobby Orr. The book is Bobby, My Story in Pictures. Now, I pulled this out too, and this gives you an example of some of the pictures you're going to see. There's a picture of you, Joe Watson, Ross Lonsberry.
Teddy Hodgson.
And boy, you'd go on to have some battles with Joe Watson and Ross Lonsberry when they were with the Flyers, wouldn't you?
Well, but Hodgson and Lonsberry both played in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. They were picked up to play for the Edmonton team in the Memorial Cup when we were playing when I was in Oshawa. They were two players that they picked up from out west. In those days, the West could add to their rosters, and they were two of the players. And we ended up playing together, living together in Boston for a short time. And both Teddy and Ross were sent to the minors, and Joey and I lived together for the rest of the remainder of the year.
The beautiful thing about this picture, Bobby, is you're sitting at the table eating. Well, why don't you tell people what food is on the table? Because there will be athletic trainers throughout the country driving their cars off the road. Or
this is a setup. There's a photographer there.
Come on.
We've got boiled potatoes.
Yes.
We've got bread.
Nine pieces of Wonder Bread.
Looks like we might have some kind of gravy.
Yeah, that's definitely gravy.
And I'm not sure what else. Well, no, over here, though, I'm tasting something. What does that look like?
It's a pot of baked beans.
Baked beans? Baked beans, potatoes, bread before the game. Perfect.
Well, well-balanced diet. I can just imagine.
Hey, don't forget, we were single guys.
I know.
Not great cooks.
I was going to say, I could just imagine walking into the Leafs dressing room with a plate of with a bowl of boiled potatoes and saying, have at it. What was the best, you know, I'm just looking at the four of you here. What was the best thing about that, those early stages of your career, Bobby? Just
We were all young and feeling our way. We became very close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we became very close, and we just had a good time. We were just roommates for fun. We were together a lot, and not only at home, but we spent a lot of time together in the rink and on the road, and when we were going places, doing things around Boston. But we just became a very close group. Joey Watson, I still talk to Joey today. That's a great thing about sport.
That was horrible.
Long-lasting friendships.
I remember that injury when he slid into the boards and the leg collapsed.
Yeah.
I still remember that injury.
I still see Joey, and this is a great thing about sports. Further into the book, mm-hmm. We lost our friend Johnny McKenzie this year.
Mm-hmm.
When I was out visiting him,
rodeo.
He was a rodeo guy in the summertime. All the guys worked in the summertime, and he worked the rodeo in the summertime. I got him roping a calf. And Billy Spear was a barber in the summertime, and in those days, the guys all had to work. But They were just good guys, and we had great fun.
You know, this is and this picture of you and Pat Quinn. And I actually did some research because people. First of all, you got to understand, you're talking about Bobby Orr redefined the way the game was played. I mean, that's and as I know you know what Red Fisher said about you, and I've repeated it often. Again, nobody pulled me out of my seat as much as Bobby Orr. But in addition to that, you could fight. You had 924 penalty minutes in 10 years, 102 in your rookie year. You won a Hart Trophy where you had 125, 91, 106 penalty minutes. And good Lord, you fought Reggie Fleming twice in your rookie year, which is interesting.
The referees didn't like me.
They didn't, did they?
No. The first year, I think they were testing the rookie, mm-hmm. and I think that did happen. And I just tried to stand up. I mean, yeah. I wasn't a great fighter or anything.
No,
like that,
but you.
I would try. Mm-hmm. But that first year especially was a year that they test me. There was all this bull that was written about this kid coming up and da da da. They were going to see if he was going to hang around, if he was hanging when it got rough.
Was it because of your age or because of the way you played, you think, that created that? I mean, it's a combination of both, obviously.
But. I mean, I deserved everything I got. I mean, I hit guys. Mm-hmm. And I play a player like that. The thing that bothers me, we have players, especially today, even back then, too, Jean Beliveau. You didn't go around running at Jean Beliveau. Mm-hmm. You got in his way, you blocked him, you bumped him. But Jean didn't play like that. You don't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that bothers me today, I think. You can call it protecting your superstars or what, but if it's a player that doesn't play that way, mm-hmm. you don't do that. You just don't do it in today's game. You can't protect them. If you go protect them, you get yourself in trouble. You get a 2-5-10 game, you get the big penalty. But I really think that with some of our players, when they start taking advantage of them, that they should be held accountable. And again, with the new rules, that doesn't happen. But in my day, hey, I hit guys. I fought guys. I deserve what I got. The way I played in a game like hockey, if you handle the puck a lot, you're going to be hit a lot. So mm-hmm. I handle the puck a lot, and I was hit a lot.
Now, I was only when we had Ralphie on, I was talking a bit about, with modern medicine and everything, and the way and the focus on rehabilitation. There's a picture here of you putting a knee brace on mm-hmm. in the summer mm-hmm. after knee surgery. Mm-hmm. I know you've had such a great career. I don't know if you look back on it, but man, do you often wonder, God, if only some of the physical, the rehabilitation we have now existed back then.
Yeah,
do
I don't
you ever wonder about that.
You know, the only thing, I just wish I could have played longer mm-hmm. with better medicine or whatever, but right. I don't dwell on that. I played 600 and some games. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful time. The games were great to me. A lot of benefits came from playing the game. Mm-hmm. Friendships. So, hey, the way I played, it didn't help my problem. But that's the way I like to play. That's the way I wanted to play. That's the way they let me play. And that's the way it goes. So, no, I don't have regrets. I would probably do it all over mm-hmm. again the same way. But with modern medicine, and back in my days when I first started having knee problems, if you had the symptoms, they would, cut you. Open the big cut and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. With today, with the scopes, certainly it would be a lot easier.
What's your favorite picture in here? I know there's so many.
Oh, God. My family. I really enjoy those early ones. Mm-hmm. And in here, I mean, I've got my family members, right. some great friends, moments, people that have been good to me. Mm-hmm. In the Oshawa days, got my first roommate. There's a photo in here that I think is really my first roommate, Mike Dubo.
Right.
My first roommate in Oshawa. And he lived in Penetang and I lived in Parry Sound. And he was lovesick.
there he is.
And I was homesick. So we would hitchhike. Okay. In the middle of the night, we'd be hitchhiking to Penetang and Parry Sound. We were homesickness and Mike to see his girl. But this photo, there's Mike and I up there in the corner, and I was the best man at his wedding, and they attended his 50th anniversary. And Mike never played in the pros, but mm-hmm. the point being here, the friendships that can come from playing a sport, it's incredible.
You know what else I like about this? It's really an uplifting book. Like when you read it, it's I mean the photos of you and your wife and the family. It's just it's uplifting.
Thank you.
You know, it's nice. I mean, that's I know it's a word we don't use that much, but it's nice.
If you look at there's one of my favorites too. Johnny Bauer.
Johnny Bauer and Murray.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Of course, there's my man.
There he is, Don Cherry.
There's Grapes. This was one of my favorite rounds of golf.
Okay, explain the foursome people.
Nabisco Dynashore. There's Ross Johnson, who was very supportive, especially during my difficult times. He really mm-hmm. took it. Ross used to run Nabisco. So we had the Dynashore golf tournament, and Peggy and I would go out every year. And this is a foursome that he put me in this year. It was Ross, of course, Bob Hope,
that's not bad.
Julie Inkster, and President Ford.
It was
a round of golf you didn't want to end.
Yeah.
And Bob Hope was hilarious. I mean, he just made me laugh all day long. We had a wonderful time. But that was one of my favorite rounds of golf. And then my dad called me one day when, one second, let me find it here. Right there.
Wow.
And that is?
That would be Terry Fox.
Mm-hmm. My dad
wearing a Bobby Orr jersey.
Terry was running through Parry Sound.
Mm-hmm.
My dad called me and he said, Terry's coming through Parry Sound. I want to give him something. I said, give him whatever you want.
Right.
He gave Terry my Team Canada sweater. and the Fox family still have it. It's in their museum. But that's what he gave Terry, my Team Canada sweater.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable. Yeah. I've got to ask you, by the way. I guess you had a rooting interest in the World Series. Is that safe to say?
Safe to say. I have a very good friend of mine. Matter of fact, his picture's in the book, Phil Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Phil is one of the owners of the Red Sox. So yes, we followed. I was there on the second game. I was at Fenway. A very exciting time at Boston right now.
I was going to say what is that? Explain to us why that's such a great sports city, Bob. Because, the Celtics.
The Patriots, Bruins, I mean, it really is incredible.
Was there a camaraderie?
One of the players says, like when David Ortiz retired,
mm-hmm.
Celtics coach says, practice is called off. Every player came. We probably, when I was playing, I would see some of the players from the other sports, and I see some of them a little mm-hmm. bit now at golf tournaments, and so we don't hang out that way. But if something comes up, something happens, someone needs support, the teams are there, and I think that's what makes Boston so great. And obviously, they've had some pretty good athletes, and with Brady and Bird, and
mm-hmm.
I think this year, the Red Sox team, the way the guys that every night there was somebody else.
One of the best teams I've seen.
When they got Pierce in the trade, I'm looking at him one day, and I said to my friend from the Red Sox, I said, he looks like an athlete. He really looks like a ball player.
Yeah, you're right.
Bang. So
he does.
But they did a great, the Red Sox were great this year. And then, Price finally, last year, Price came out of the bullpen, pitched pretty well in the playoffs mm-hmm. last year. He had a very good season. And he made it up in the playoffs this year.
You got to win a championship, don't you?
Being part of a championship is just, you can't even describe it. I mean, I just remember it like it was yesterday with Chief with a cup high mm-hmm. over skating around Boston Garden, the parade. It's unbelievable. It really is something. It's too bad. And we're lucky. Very few people get mm-hmm. to experience it. And the guys appreciate that too, and they know it. And the Stanley Cup. If you think, it's got to be the hardest championship to win, though. I mean, four.
Yeah, well, the playoffs are just.
My God, I mean, four.
Right.
I think it was LA's first. Didn't they have four 7-game series?
That's a lot of hockey.
28 games on top of everything else.
Well, we had Jonathan Toews in here last year, and we're talking about it's almost like an extra season.
Yeah.
But by the time you're done, absolutely. If you have a long career and you go on a couple of Stanley Cup runs,
yep.
you're looking at an extra year.
But you look at the game today. You look around. How many teams could win it? A lot of teams could.
Yeah,
win.
Yeah.
You look at them, and you've got one right here.
Yep.
But if you look at them, it's going to take healthier team, your goaltending, and how badly do you want to win?
Mm-hmm.
There's a price to pay to be the winner, and you're going to be bumped and bruised, and you got to get up, and you won't want to go to skate, but you have to go on skate, and you got to work things out. It's a grind, and those are the three things in my mind: the health of your team, the goaltending, and how badly do you want to win? Do you want to pay the price to win?
The book is Bobby, My Story in Pictures by Bobby Orr. Bobby will be signing today, 6 o'clock at the Indigo at Bay and Bloor, and 6 p.m. Thursday at Chapters Barry. Bobby, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for co-hosting and guiding me through an interview with Jim Ralph. That is always appreciated, especially first thing in the morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Great
being
well. With you. Thank you.
Bobby Orr. The book, again, is Bobby, My Story in Pictures. And as I said, Bobby Orr will be signing 6 p.m. at Indigo at Bay and Bloor, 6 p.m. Thursday at Chapters in Barrie. We'll be back with John Shannon. We'll talk a little gambling and hockey. Yes, there is. It's the Jeff Blair Show at Sportsnet 590, The Fan.